Good morning, everybody. It's nice to be home. Some of you probably don't know me, but I came right after Ted. Ted was here a year when the church first started over on Portion Road, and I came about 2 years after that. So my wife and I, Debbie, we moved to Florida about 16 years ago. Yeah, 16. And we come back often. Today I'm going to go over Romans chapter 12. So if you have a Bible, that would be great if you can turn to that for me, please. And I was talking to Lawrence. Lawrence, is Lawrence here yet?
No.
I don't see him. He will be here? All right. And we discussed instant messages about what we might want to go over. I know you guys are going to go over to the divided kingdom. But I'm going to go over Romans chapter 12, and he suggested I go over the gifts. This particular section in Romans is not exhaustive. It's succinct. It'll tell you. Hi, Amy. It's funny because the chapter only has three verses, talks about the gifts. The rest of the chapter is talking about loving God, being a living sacrifice, and then blessing those who persecute us. So as I studied it and I looked at it, as Lawrence suggested, I noticed that the gifts, it seems like Paul goes over the gifts quicker than talking about the love that we have towards each other. So I'm going to be talking more about what that means to love each other and the utilization of the gifts that God has graciously given us, okay? But as we read these three verses, I'm going to start there, talk about each one, and then we'll work on how we actually apply those verses in everyday life. Because Paul starts the first 11 chapters, and he gives an expositional, doctrinal teaching of exactly what Christ has accomplished, who we are, who we are not, what's expected of us, how we live in the flesh, and how we live in the spirit and how that struggle works. Who we are in Christ, chapter 8, that nothing will separate us from the love of God. Chapter 9, the sovereignty of God. All right. Chapter 10 and 11 kind of talks about the Jews and how they've been blinded for a while. And 11. And then 12, everything changes. The entire book changes. In chapter 12, a practical application. Now that you learned all these 11 verses, what are you going to do with it? You have the instructions. How? How do we live our life out as Christians? This is the most important thing. The rest of the book goes through and tells you how to do it. Now that you learned doctrine, it's useless. Knowledge puffs up. It's useless. It's like the library books. It's just sitting there doing absolutely nothing. But until we can actually apply it and do it and serve each other, this is the Christianity that we need to aspire to. And that only God, the Holy Spirit, can graciously give us to attend each other's needs. All right? Does that make sense to y'all? I just want to give you a format exactly how I'm going to do it. Because I'm going to, we have 45 minutes, 10:45 we stop-ish. All right, so today I'm going to, God willing, teach Sunday school. We'll see how that works out. And then next Sunday we'll wrap it up with lots of questions. If anybody has a question, please just raise your hand. Stop me, because I like to talk about the Bible a lot. And please raise your hand, tell me your name, ask me a question, okay? Just stop, because this is Sunday school. It's not preaching. It's about us learning and sharing and encouraging each other. So here we go, Lawrence. This is Romans chapter 12 and verses 6 to 8. Three verses talks about spiritual gifts, and it's very interesting. He doesn't really elaborate on them. He just mentions it. He says, do it. And this is the New American Standard Version. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. If you're going to lead, lead. It's so obvious that we should never ask, what is our gift? So today, most of you are already utilizing your gifts. I came here early this morning. Pastor was finishing up his sermon, some notes. His gift is preaching and teaching. Okay? So he was doing that. Some of you serve in the back. You're all folding up the bulletins. You're serving. That's your spiritual gift. Don't ever make light of a spiritual gift. God graciously gave that to the body to edify each other. All right? Some of us do things in the background. Shane's constantly in the back there recording, putting things online. I get to enjoy the sermons sometimes. You know, we don't see what we each do for each other. Okay? I want to slowly go through each one. The prophesying. I thought that was pretty interesting, the prophesying. I have 7 pages of the note, Lawrence. Thank you. He told me to do a good job. Prophesying. Old Testament, we have the prophets. They literally spoke the word of God to encourage, to restore, to rebuke, and other things such as that. That particular way of prophesying has been done away with. In the early church, we did have some of that. And like in the book of Acts, one guy took Paul's belt. Whoever owns his belt is going to be tied up. And that's pretty much the last type of prophetic speaking, forth-telling, if you will. And exactly, you know, thus saith the Lord. Now that we have a full canon in Scripture, where it's no longer necessary to have that because we have the entire Word of God written for us. Prophesying today is actually proclaiming the Word of God. Maybe you'll street evangelize later on in the day. That's another gift, to evangelize. Not everybody has that gift. So don't be upset if not everyone wants to go with you and evangelize, okay? Some people stay back in the church and they serve. Dwayne takes care of the finances. That's his particular gift. It's not mentioned here, but that's what he does. God's gifted the church to grow. Peter says that we're going to be formed together, we're fitted together as living stones. It's really important to understand each other's gifts. Everybody track with me so far? It's that simple. It's that simple of an issue. If God's gifted you to do something, my wife loves to entertain, have people over the house. Maybe she'll make someone a dish. Maybe they're sick, whatever. She makes great sauce. So if you ever get sick, call us from Florida. We'll rush it up to you. You get some nice, good stuffed shells, lasagna, baked ziti, all that good stuff. So it's her gift, and that's what she does, you know? So it's funny, right? But it's that obvious. Back in the 80s, I guess it was, the church went through this, what's your gift? And, I mean, it was so extensive and so, it got to the point where it got ridiculous. I love to study the Word of God. My gift is to come alongside people, just everyday people, the guys at work, they're struggling. I've become like the West Palm Beach chaplain, I guess you can say. But that's my gift. And there's no haughtiness in that because God has excelled individuals to do certain things for the building of the church. It's incredible. I look at that. I'm like, look what's going on. So if we just study all the time and we never do, it's useless. It's useless. James says, you say you have faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. We're called to action. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to sit around and just, you know, I'll pray for you. But what is your particular need and what do you do? How can I fulfill that need? And this is the Christianity, this is the gospel that Christ wants from us and that he's enabled us to give to each other. Do you have a question, Tish? That's a Debbie thing. All right. So this is prophecy. Prophecy is just a proclamation. You share the gospel with somebody, you're proclaiming the gospel to them. So you're prophesying in the New Testament definition of that, not in the old definition. Yeah, Pentecostals like to say, I'm prophesying, I'm proclaiming. Well, they're not. They're just adding to God's word, and that's a no-no. Book of Revelation is the end. Don't add to God's word. That's so. Then we have service. Did you guys ever have your mouse just freeze up on you? There you go. We have service and ministry. In the Old Testament, the priests, their ministry was to serve in the temple. In the New Testament, we serve here as Christ's body because we are the temple. So we minister to each other in different ways. This particular service and ministry has to do, they use the word diakonos. Is that the right way to say it? It's like the deacon type service, but each of us do that. So you could say that we're all mini deacons. I don't want to push that too far, but the whole idea of it is to serve each other, is to pray for each other, but it's the doing of it. Prayer is very, very important. I'm not diminishing that in any way, but if that's all you're doing, I'll pray for you. Have a great day. Go in peace. You know, what are you doing? Do you really? Hey, how you doing today? I get that a lot. I'm doing great. Yeah, it's good to see you. How you doing, Mike? Lousy. I would tell people lousy. They stop in their tracks. What's going on? I said, I'm a sinner. Please pray for me. These are my issues. And we don't do that in American Christianity. We say, pick up our bootstraps and go. Go west. All right? That's American Christianity. It's no good. The Christianity that we want is one to look after the widows and the orphans. Very important. And what does it mean to serve? You can serve your neighbor. Maybe his lawn needs to get mowed. Mow the lawn. Be your neighbor. It's that simple. Share the gospel. Hey, God bless you. Hey, I see you having a hard time struggling. Let's pray. Right then and there. They'll be blown away. Put your hand on their shoulder, whatever, stand by them, and pray with them. What are you going through? How's your life? Get involved. Don't just show up at church and say, well, I'm a Christian. Doesn't work that way. All right, teaching. There's seven gifts mentioned here. The Corinthians has them. It was funny because I was going back and forth between Corinthians 13 and this chapter. Peter mentions a couple. Ephesians mentions a couple of gifts. But this intrigued me because the particular love that we have in teaching or whatever particular gift we've been gifted with by God's grace, really needs to be utilized. I can't stress that enough. I can't stress that enough. We have to exercise the gifts that we've been given. You know what they are already. You know what they are. So teaching specifically. Teaching, first of all, God the Holy Spirit teaches us. And we know all things through God the Holy Spirit. But God's gifted the church with teachers. Now, it's not necessarily sometimes biblical. It could be homeschooling. Homeschooling is important. Sound doctrine is very important. But if we don't connect the two with love, it's useless. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Without love, it's impossible. Nothing. Nothing happens. I can teach you all that I've been taught, all the books I've read, and it's useless without extending that gracious, generous love. And that's exactly what Christ has done for us. Of these seven, the one that really stood out to me is none of them. What stood out to me studying this book was the grace of God the Father giving His Son. I'm blown away by that. So, His grace has saved us and He has called us. And this is what He's teaching us. He came as one to serve. He washed our feet. The Creator of all the universe. He humbled Himself and became a man. And He taught by doing. Look at the example of Jesus. Look what He did. He washed. And He laid down His life for us. What an example. And go back to verse 1. It says we're to lay as living sacrifices. What are we teaching the ones around us, the new in the faith, or our neighbor that might not be saved? Or what are they teaching us? Everything is a good learning experience in Christ. You know, we're not being conformed by the world, as it says at the beginning of the chapter. We're being transformed. So it's interesting, as we're being taught that transformation is just like Christ's transformation up on the mountain transfiguration. It's we're being metamorphosed into Christ. And eventually when we're fully sanctified in heaven, we'll be just like Christ in his bodily form. I mean, to me, that really impacted on how I study this. What are you being taught? What is God the Holy Spirit teaching you? How are you being taught? Be surrounded by mature Christian people. Okay? Really important. Sound in doctrine. It's very, very important, because without it, we're not going to be able to love as Christ has taught us to love. So our teaching needs to be one of, I'm going to say academic, and the other one is to be just shrouded in the loving kindness of God. It says that brotherly love in this particular chapter, and I looked up that it's a family love and it's a brotherly love, so like Philadelphia, Phileo. But that love is only used a couple of times to describe the love of God, and it's agape love. And I looked at that, and I was like, wow, how can I teach someone the agape love of Christ unless my heart's been transformed, not stamped out or conformed to be like the world? So, I mean, the world will stamp us all day long. I mean, you look at everyone getting plastic surgery, they all look the same, you know? And they're being conformed to the image of the world. It's the inward transformation and teaching that Christ gives us by his example. All right? So teaching is something entirely different than what we've come to expect. It's everything is by example. You see me do this, you do this. You know, and it's an incredible way to teach, lead by example. I'm sure, Lauren, she work with a lot of wood all the time. Maybe you have someone in the shop new. You're rubbing too hard, you're rubbing too soft. You're wiggling when you're cutting the thing. Do it like this. Let me show you. You show when you lead by example. And that's how you teach people. It's a great thing. Here's a couple of things I wrote down as I was reading about teaching. You may know what the word says. And that's knowledge. Christ goes to the heart, which is the love of God. And the heart of teaching the word is that we might know the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's why we're here this morning. I want you to recognize who Christ is and point to him. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He should be our everything. When and how we apply our particular gift. So it's more than just more head knowledge. It's good. Doctrine is very important. Don't get me wrong. But which wing of the bird is more important to fly? Is it the doctrinal wing or is it the love wing? You have to have both to walk that narrow path. So when we teach, we exhort, encourage to love as Christ loves. Does that make sense? Amen? No? Yes. This I got of, this was from the New American Commentary, Romans. The guy's name is Mounts. And I thought this was interesting, so I highlighted this. Theology in isolation promotes a barren intellectualism. Ethics apart from a theological base is important to achieve its goals. What's our goal? What are you trying to achieve by studying? You're just trying to get a position? You just want to come up here and teach Sunday school? Do you want to be a better person? Is it for the job? Just want to look good? Or do you want to glorify God? So check your motives and how you're applying the gifts that God has given us. Because it's easy to become haughty because we think it's of our own. Okay. Exhortation. I thought this was pretty neat. To cause someone to be encouraged. And I was like, wow, what does it mean to encourage somebody? What does that mean? Coming along the side of somebody. I have a young man that I'm coming alongside in work. He's struggling tremendously, and God's doing a great work in his life. He's breaking him. And I'm, I kind of hands off and I encourage him at the same time. Go read your Bible. Go to church with your family. You know, pray with your wife continually. Ask God to reveal your heart. And I encourage him in that aspect. Now, to the world, that's like, That's not encouraging. You know, hey, you deserve it. You deserve better. That's what we say in the world. But that's not of God. That's not of Christ. So we exhort each other. Sometimes we get really down. We don't realize the joy of our salvation and what we have, what we've been given in Christ. So we exhort each other. Hey, be encouraged. Maybe you might have a particular verse that you studied. All right, you looked at it, that's really close to your heart. Maybe it's a psalm or a spiritual song or something like that. Hey, look what I read. Look at this. And it applies directly to the person without you even knowing it. You're like, wow, I really need to hear that. So we encourage each other because we have a God who sits on a throne and sovereign over everything that happens in the world. So even though we may be discouraged, He works everything out for the good of those who trust Him. So be encouraged. So if you're going to exhort someone, you know, I would say give them the gusto. Come on, you know, one more point kind of thing. You really want to encourage each other like as a team would. Not all of us have that ability to exhort or to encourage. We each have a gift. And when we apply that gift, the church works. Because it has to be a biblically sound frame that we work in. Anything outside the biblical teaching is not going to work. It may work for a season, but it's not going to work in the long run. Okay? Just like a baseball team. There's no pitcher. There's no outs. It seems silly. It's that simple. It seems silly in my head to say it that way. But that's how God works in His church. And it's just amazing when we each exercise a gift. It's like Christmas morning. Bunch of kids in the house. They all get up. They're all excited. Christmas lights are on. There's snow on the ground. Right? It's cold. Run around in slippers. And Dwayne gets a new calculator. Dwayne's tickled pink. Right? Got the best calculator. You know, it does all that. Man, boom, 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 boom. I don't have to figure anything out. Boom, boom. This thing's great. Oh, this is awesome. All right? Lawrence gets a new systematic theology. You know, Hodges systematics. All right? Debbie gets new pens. It's funny, right, to hear it that way. But that's our gifts, and God gives gifts to the church to build the church up, right? Debbie's in the back with the pens. Dwayne's hammering on that calculator. It's not a Texas Instrument, by the way. That's an old one. And Lawrence is just digging it. He's enjoying it. Why do we have that gift? Why is Dwayne really good with numbers? I really want you to think about what I'm saying. It's profound. If Dwayne doesn't have his calculator and he takes care of the church's finances, who's going to do it? Not me. I'm terrible with numbers. Terrible. Debbie's good with numbers. You know, we're on the phone constantly going back and forth. Well, what's the bank account? I want to get this. I want to get that. And we talk to each other. We communicate to each other. We encourage each other. We exhort each other. She teaches me. I teach her. She taught me how to cook sauce the other day. But that's our gift. And that's what it is to be family. We teach each other. Okay? So, exhorting. Romans 15:4. It talks about, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. So that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. We're never disappointed with hope because we know that our anchor holds. We don't hold the anchor holds us. I always thought that was interesting because I always thought the boat held the anchor and it doesn't work that way. We're held by the anchor. It goes into the Holy of Holies. And there's Christ giving gifts and encouraging. I mean, look what Christ has done. It's such amazing. He's done all these things. Right? And then He gives. The next gift is giving. Give. That doesn't mean financially, necessarily. It means give of yourself. Give to help somebody else. Give what you got. Whatever you have. Whether it's just sitting next to somebody by a hospital bed or giving of your talents. Or your particular gift. Hey, I'm having a hard time with this. I heard some folks in the back. Hey, I'm having a hard time with this particular teaching. Can you help me understand this? oh yeah, this particular book is for this, and this particular chapter is for this, this psalm is for this. See how they fit together? And they went back and forth. Gave of their teaching ability. Gave and served. They served is what I saw. That's what I saw. Serving. It was pretty neat. You know, you guys see it every day. You come in and you might just gloss over the way things are going on, but I love to observe and see how people tick and what makes them tick and how they tick and how you guys come together and you live as Christ has asked us to. You don't see it. You know, Tom and Teresa do the bulletin and the emails for the prayer list. We get that, by the way, the email for the prayer. You don't see them there behind scenes, but that's their gift. That's what they do. You know, it's just amazing how it's put together. And we don't see it enough. So pay attention to that. Look at the gift that the person has that's been gifted by God. Okay? So everyone's getting these gifts in the morning, right? I was going back to the calculator and the pans and the systematics for Lawrence. And I know when I was a kid, I opened up my presents. Boy, it was awesome. Got a toboggan, got a guitar, got new electric cars. You know, back then I had a cable and you could only go so far. So you had to run with the car and stuff like that. Who gave me the gifts? We enjoy the gifts so much we forget about the giver. Don't ever forget about Christ, guys. And if I encourage you or anything or teach you or exhort you or give you anything today, put Christ first. He's the giver of all things. He gives it all, everything, even the stuff we don't like. So we've been given a task, if you will. And our task in chapter 12 is to help each other. I struggle. I struggle with my Christianity tremendously. My biggest issue is praying with my wife in the morning. It's hard. We get up at 3:50 in the morning. It's hard. It's really is hard. I don't know if anybody else has that problem, but, you know, come over and encourage me later on if you have an idea, something that can benefit me serving my wife. It's hard. It really is hard. So I would ask for prayer for that. Prayer for prayer. All right. So giving. We give gifts. Nathaniel, that's a gift from God. I thought that was interesting. I thought you'd like that. I thought, wow, Nathaniel's name is a gift of God. So Nathaniel, give a gift to somebody. Give your gift. Encourage them. Because we don't all have that gifts. We don't have seven gifts. We're given a gift. Sometimes two. Very rare. Very rare. We have one gift. Use that gift. God has given it to you. Okay? Just like when God gives out the denarius, you know, one guy, he tenfold, twentyfold, one guy sticks it in the ground. What are you going to do with the gift that God has given you? You know what it is. If you're not sure, pray about it. Ask somebody, you know, go through this list. You know, what do you like to do? That's your gift. What do you like to do? It's that simple. What do you like to do? So don't make it a big thing. But it's only three verses. So I'm just trying to clock myself, see how we're doing. Ruling and leadership. This was very interesting. Because if you rule as the world rules, you're going to have a bunch of Mussolinis, Stalins, depending on your political view in America, how that works out. Leadership in the church is servant leadership. It's a tenderness of a shepherd to understand what's going on with everyone's life. But that's a big responsibility. It's huge. You know, what I was thinking when I went over the teaching and ruling leadership portion, sometimes it's combined as one. But here it's seven distinct things. Everything's different here. The pastor is an under-shepherd. You pray for Pastor Jensen. He should be number one on your prayer list. Because he deals with all of us and all of our problems. And he's here to serve. But I think the most profound thing in being a ruler ruling leader or a servant leader is to have a millstone tied around my neck and be cast into the deepest sea. To have one of you guys. The magnitude of that scares the hell out of me to cause one of you guys to stumble. So if I say something out of place or I'm wrong, please rebuke me in love, okay? It's a very serious matter to be a ruler, a very serious matter, because we are Christ's children. And it goes back to the beginning of the chapter. It talks about that brotherly love, that agape love that we should have toward each other. Super important. Tender-hearted. Christ died for you. Christ died for me. And to diminish our gifts and to make less of anything, any gift, is diminishing God's gracious gift of Christ, because he's doing it to build us up. It's really important to understand that. This is what I've got out of this chapter. It's amazing what's here. And I'm just talking about the gifts right now. I'm not even talking about anything else. It's amazing what's here. I read too many books for this chapter. And I was talking with Lawrence. He says, yeah, talk about the gifts. 3 verses out of 21 talk about gifts. If you prophesy, prophesy. If you give, give. That's all it says. May say generously or cheerfully, but doesn't say anything. Because Paul knows that God the Holy Spirit will equip the church. He doesn't have to go crazy telling you about what it means to exhort. He doesn't have to go crazy about telling you what to teach, because he spent 11 chapters telling you all about it. So if Christ lives in you, you got those 11 chapters. And what are you going to do with it? I can tell my kids how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but unless I actually do it, they're going to sleep hungry. It's that simple. It's that simple. It's that profound. Get to feed your kids. We get to feed each other. So make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's good. Ex Debbie, she makes really good peanut butter and jelly. All right. So those are the gifts. We have a total of 7. So what I did, as I went through each verse, and I got 7 pages of notes, and I'm sure I'm not going to, 2 Sunday schools not going to cover it, but I want to give you the tools necessary so you can actually do it. Hey, Bob. That's the biggest difference. Say hello to somebody. That's how we serve each other. When someone comes in, greet them. I had a really bad day, you know? I spent 12 hours driving the car yesterday. New York traffic is terrible. I'm exhausted, you know? Mike, how was your ride? It was terrible. Pray for me. I learned patience. Debbie's like, how you do it? I was like, I'm a truck driver. I asked for patience. God made me a truck driver. You learn patience that way. You know, so be careful what you pray for and how you pray, because God will give it to you according to his will and his purpose in Christ Jesus. I don't want any traffic. That's my patience, you know. And it was funny. I was talking to a pastor about that, and I asked him, do you think they really hear us when we're yelling at them? He's like, no, I see it, but I do. So, you know, it's patience. You know, so encourage me in patience. Mike, be patient, you know, because I'm from New York, and we want it right now. Why is this page taking so long to load up? Internet. I can't get internet where we're staying. We're staying in Rocky Point. There's no internet. You know, you're all frustrated. And I'm like, yeah, in the long run, it really doesn't make a difference, because it's better than being in hell. Okay? So, what time is it there? 20-ish? I can't say. So, I'm going to kind of wrap it up. If anyone would like feedback of what I've been saying, because right now I just want to talk about the 7 gifts today, and then, God willing, next week, I'm going to talk about the other verses and what it means to love. Because I want to leave you with 2 thoughts on chapter 12. And as you might read through it later on, or maybe you have a question later on, or something to encourage me with, as your gift-specific thing is in grace, there's 2 things I want you to remember if you walk away from this chapter. And one is to love God with all you got. That's my way of saying it. With all you got. Because he's given us everything in Christ Jesus, far above what we could ever even imagine. And then love your neighbor as yourself. When you read this chapter, that's what we want you to see. Forget about the gifts. The gifts are almost secondary in this chapter. I was astonished when Lauren said that. Don't talk about the gifts. I'll talk about the gifts. And the more I read it, it's like, well, there's only 3 verses out of 21 to talk about gifts. If you prophesy, prophesy. If you give, give. It has nothing to do with the gifts. It has all about the love of Christ in us and Christ working through us to accomplish what he wants done. That's what it's all about, the gift. So if we all work together, right? The first portion of the chapter talks about we're being fitted together. It's hard to fit sinners together. We all come from different backgrounds, different situation, different life experiences. How we look at the world, the lens of our experience tells us what's going on in front of us, and it's usually not. Utilize those gifts. If you're not sure, go to someone you trust. Pray, first of all, primarily pray. And give God the glory as you use them. When you find out what your gift is, it's going to fit like a glove. It's going to be that comfortable on you, like a well-worn suit jacket or a nice pair of penny loafers. It's going to fit that well. Okay? So, when you know what your gift is, use it. Okay? All right. Any questions, any insights as we wrap up today? Crickets? Ted?
I just wondered how, for the sake of the younger children that we have, whether, who might be asking themselves, well, I don't have any gifts, I don't know what to do, or, you know, how, so when you're more mature, you can see what you've already been doing. But
right. Sure. As a young individual, or someone who's, God bless you, or a young in the faith, go to your parents, kids. I highly recommend reading the Bible, and along with that, prayer. Probably pray more. You read a chapter, takes about 10 minutes, pray for about 20 minutes. Pray. Ask God to reveal himself to you, and he will, and he does. He does that all the time. God's real. He's real. He's not just a figment. He's genuine. He really is there. He's closer than we even know. So as children in the faith or of age, look for good godly examples. Go to your parents. Go to someone that might be mentoring you or discipling, I should say, and talk to them. If you're really curious to know, come to me. I'll be happy to talk to you about what it means to have a gift and how to serve the church. Because it's not about me getting a guitar. It's not about me getting a toboggan or calculator or pots and pans. It's about helping each other. So when we help each other, it could be as simple as putting dishes from the table into the sink. It's a gift. You're serving somebody else. That's what it means to serve, is to put others' needs ahead of yourself. So kids, put mom and dad's needs before yourself, okay? Because they do that for you. Mom and dad go to work. They're putting your needs above their own. They're providing a roof over your head, okay? It's a lot of hard work. The clothes on our backs, someone's worked for them, okay? Christ has done the ultimate work for us. I want to always point back to Christ. He endured the cross. So he is our Savior. Look what he's done for us. He's served. So serve. Serve each other. Maybe it's making a pot of coffee in the back, or cleaning up, or just making the refrigerator nice here. You know, getting the old milk out, putting some new one in, making a list. Maybe that's your serving. It might be that. But be encouraged. If you are in Christ, he has a gift for you. And you may not realize what it is yet, but eventually it will come out. Seek those who can counsel you, godly counsels, and ask. But it's that simple. If it's serve, serve. If it's giving, give. If you like to give, you like to help out. Some of you are great in the nursery. Go help the kids, change a diaper. It's not for me. but Ted, I think that would be the best way to approach that is to seek godly counseling, come under good discipling, someone that's a really good mentor that's been in the faith. Start with your parents. That's the best place to start. If not your parents, maybe somebody in the church, a godly person, someone that is consistently Christ-like and serves and that utilizes their gift that you recognize. So that's what I would do. Okay. Anybody else? Crickets? Eric? Yeah. Hey, Eric. Yeah. Sure. Cannot determine. No, we don't want that. Let's see. It's in verses 6 through 8. One is prophesying. The other is service or serving. Teaching. Exhorts or exhortation. Giving. Leadership, servant leadership. And mercy. Did I go over mercy? I don't think I went over mercy. I think I missed mercy. Mercy is a hard one. We got a couple minutes? Mercy. This is really, I like what it says, the divinely required attitude of man to man. What is mercy? It's showing compassion to everybody, especially your enemies, because Christ died for us when we were his enemies. He's merciful. Merciful. I think I'll go over that maybe in the beginning of next week, God willing, if we can. Someone remind me to do that. But mercy is the big one. So that's in God's providence. He let me stop at 6, and then we'll work on 7 a little bit next Sunday, God willing. And then we'll talk about the application of that loving agape towards each other. Jerry. Okay. That's great. So well, I'll study up a little more. That's where I'll be more in tune what the church's needs are. So, all right. Anybody else? Crickets. All right, guys. Let's just pray. And then I guess you guys go to worship right away, or when does worship start?
Soon after.
Soon. Oh, I hate that when it does that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for you, Lord. You the greatest, precious gift of Christ, Lord. Lord, without you, we can do nothing, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you give most generously, Lord, and you exhort beyond any encouragement I can imagine. Thank you for Christ, Lord, suffering in our stead, Lord God, and just making us right with you, Lord God. May we take these gifts, Lord, and encourage each other, Lord God, and build up your church. And it's your name that we pray. Amen.